Financial Matters.
Dr. Frank Mukwege is here with me. Dr. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate
your
time.
Thank you, Robbie. Good evening.
Good evening to you. I can see you run into the studio.
You were running.
Oh.
And then you are ready for your talk tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I'm
ready.
I'm not a very
present person on Twitter.
Yes.
I announced this and I put a question out there. I tell you, I've
never had
such a reaction on Twitter. And the dumb me, I wanted to respond to each person.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you can get up to 100, 200 people.
Absolutely.
It's the Twitter streets. Yes. Anyway, but I'm really looking forward to that conversation tomorrow. Yeah. Sad that people think that when you have a conversation with somebody, it means that you necessarily agree with them. And then people go on a particular tangent.
Yeah.
On the basis of ideas that they've created in their minds about what it is that you are saying.
Correct.
But hey, we're going to have this conversation. I hope they join.
Tomorrow, yes.
I hope they join
they
us in that conversation.
Part of it and share their views.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about investments.
You know, I'm so excited to be in the studio today. And this is the reason. I'm always excited.
Yeah.
But I'm extra excited today because I think I got the fist pumps from our producer, Ntateng, when I gave you like the summary of our talk today. So I said, Ntateng, we're going to talk about this. The money we save gets invested. Hi, Bra Aubrey. You have to credit me for that sentence. Can
the
I read it again? The
money
we save gets invested.
Wow.
If it's the same thing, you would agree with me. The money we save gets saved. Ah, you say, but Moko, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Or the money we invest gets invested. So I created this sentence to try to capture the difference.
That
the money we save gets invested. Yo, that thing said, go for it, brother.
a bit of inspiration there.
Yes.
But I think that sentence sums it all up.
Absolutely.
Because I want to ask the question, what is the difference between investing
and saving? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we use the terms interchangeably. That is why I thought about retirement savings. You know, for people who are in gainful employment, and most companies in South Africa would have some sort of retirement fund that you contribute towards.
Yeah.
That is what you were talking to Babaloa when I was in there last week. And we've talked quite a number of times about retirement saving on this show.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the idea that part of the money that you earn, a small part of it, up to 27.5%, they take it, they invest it for you. But when we talk about it, we say we are saving for our retirement. If we don't have a formal job or we entrepreneurs, small business owners, we take some money every month aside and we put it for retirement through, for example, retirement annuities, right?
Yeah.
But what most people don't realize, that's why I wanted to start there, that money that we are putting aside for 40 years away when we retire, for 30 years or for 15 years, that money actually gets invested. In other words, it's exposed to risk so that it can grow. So the fundamental difference, when I say, Bra Aubrey, I'm saving money for emergencies, it simply means I am taking some money and not spending it. I could be putting it in a piggy bank, like what kids do.
Yeah.
You know, put it under a pillow. But you're just not spending, but you're not exposing it to risk.
Yeah, yeah.
That's saving money.
Yeah.
You're just, I don't want to lose it.
I want to go back to that sentence that you came with, because I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, that the money we save gets invested.
Yeah.
But how come we don't reap the benefits of the investment that is made by those people we save the money with?
We do. And I think that's where the disconnect is.
Okay.
That individuals don't realize that if I'm saving for retirement by small amount coming out, going to the asset management companies that typically manage this money on behalf of companies and pension funds, they expose it to risk through, for example, taking that money, they put it together for all employees, all contributions, they buy shares on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, they buy shares on the New York Stock Exchange, and we all know, what does it mean to buy a share? It's exposing your money to risk, right? We know what happened to the likes of Steinhoff many years ago, to the likes of African Bank. So share prices go up and down, right? And therefore, for the money to grow so that we have adequate money at retirement, they have to expose it to risk.
Sure,
you must be prepared for the money to go up and down.
My question, Doctor, yeah. Doctor Magwegwe, is I get the fact that you get some sort of interest for the money that you've saved, but is it equivalent to the return that the bank, for example, that you've saved with, gets by investing your money, in other words, putting it at risk?
Oh, I get you.
So that's the issue that I'm actually trying to raise. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I get you. So I think the answer there is twofold. So if we take a simple bank account, a savings account, we put the money in. The bank says, I'm going to give you an interest rate of, they cut a number for you.
Yeah.
Let's say often you get now fixed deposit, 7.5% or 8% for 12 months.
Yeah.
Do you see, Praobre, that money, other than the bank failing, if there are problems with the bank, even often if a bank has problems, you know, there's some guarantee on deposits with the Reserve Bank.
Yes.
So your money is pretty much safe. You put 1,000 rand, they say in a year we give you 8%, you're going to have 1,000 rand plus 8% of 1,000, right?
Yeah.
80
yeah.
rand.
Yeah.
So that money is safe. You won't lose it.
So you're saying to me that I'm getting the safety of a bank's ability to look after my money.
Correct.
And a little bit of interest.
Yeah, in they say we pay space. A little bit because I'm not exposing you to too much risk.
Yeah.
I'm just saying keep it there. And they say for you keeping it here, we give you, let's use a nice number, 10%.
Yeah.
So we give you 10%.
Yeah.
So if 1,000 rand, end of year, we have 1,100 in your bank account.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? The chance of you getting to the end of the end wanting your money and they say it's now 500, it's almost zero. It's not going to happen.
Sure.
So that's the safety. But your point you raising is the bank can take that money and take risk on it. That's their different story, right? You agree?
Yeah.
That they take all these deposits, they do other things with them.
Yeah.
But what we are talking about today is the choice to put it in the bank account
and
you have almost a guaranteed return. At 10% for a 1 year, I'll give you 100 rand because that's 10% of 1,000.
Right.
That very 1,000, Bra Aubrey, you can decide to expose it to risk by buying shares at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, by buying unit trusts that expose you to risk, right, that they've got shares in them.
Yeah.
You can even go forex trading that some people like doing.
Yeah.
You can even buy a little bit of Bitcoin with it. Do you agree? The moment you are putting it in things like that, it means immediately I have a chance of maybe a higher return, but it is very possible that the money I put in shares today, 1,000 rand, in 3 months' time, if there's a global financial crisis, it might be 100, it might be 200, it might be zero, depending where you put it.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference, and we need that shift in mindset to say, you know, if I'm putting it in a bank, it's safe, I know I've got a guaranteed almost return. This is what I will get in terms of interest. The moment I'm thinking of investments, it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
It can be a lot, it can be a little.
Big risk, big returns.
Yes.
But also big losses.
Yes.
If you're going to invest.
Yes.
But if you save, the risk is managed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the returns might be modest. But your money is safe.
Correct, yeah. And if our 702 listeners, Skeptalk listeners, good evening. I was so eager to show this sentence I created with Bra Aubrey. I didn't even greet you. If you're wondering, these guys, if they run out of topics, I mean, really, that different does it matter? It matters. I want you to think about how many people have you come across who would say to you, I will never buy shares.
Yeah.
I will never buy unit trust. You know what happened to me? I put 5,000 rand. Then I checked my statement. Yo, it was 4,000. I asked them, where did the 1,000 go? And they told me it's the market. So that's what happens when you don't realize. Are you making a decision to save money? In other words, put it in a bank account. It's going to go slowly. It's safe. The chance of it being less than the initial amount is almost nothing.
Yeah.
It's close to zero.
Yeah.
But if you say, I'm putting it in shares, there are all these platforms through banks, and I'm buying MTN shares or Standard Bank shares or Sanlam shares or Discovery shares.
Yeah.
Who knows what the share price is going to be 3 months from now.
Mm.
It's very possible that the 1,000 that you used to buy shares, it can halve. But it's also very possible it can double. So the point you are making today is twofold. One, when you understand that difference, it helps you to know, this money that I have, can I afford to lose it?
Yeah.
All of it or part of it?
Yeah.
If your answer is definitely not, then you are talking about safe in a bank account type of product, and the chance of it being less than the initial is almost zero.
Yeah.
If you're saying, now I want to grow wealth, I want to expose my money to risk that it works for me, I've got a longer period. I'm not looking 6 months. I'm not looking a year. I'm looking 2-3 years out. Then you say, I know share prices go up and down. You need trust. Prices go up and down. But you know, in the long term, they do go up. So I'm prepared to take that risk.
Yeah.
So when something happens, you look at your statement at the end of the quarter. Your 1,000 is, let's say, 800.
Yeah.
You say, no, it's okay. I don't need the money now.
Yeah.
I do know they go up and down. I am quite okay to wait. I think in 3 years, hopefully, you know, it will be more than the 1,000 that I've put in. So it's a fundamental difference that speaks to what is the time horizon you want to put your money aside.
Yeah.
What is your tolerance for risk?
Yeah.
What is your appetite for the possibility that you could lose money? And it's there all the time, Brother Aubrey. The reason people cry and they run and say, I didn't know, when they lose money in Triple M or all these funny pyramid schemes, they are not realizing they are trying to get big returns. That comes with a lot of risk.
Sure.
You want your money to grow a lot. Hey, if it didn't involve a lot of risk, Haibo, we would all do it most.
So can somebody who is not in a position to invest, but is only at this point in a position to save, use savings instruments to at some point get involved in the investment game?
Absolutely. So we typically say, start with saving.
Yeah.
For emergencies, for a deposit of a car, for whatever it is. In other words, we're saying, start with putting aside your money without exposing it to risk other than interest rate risk, going up and down.
Right.
Then, probably you get to a point where you say, you know what, if an emergency happens, if I need to quickly access money, I've got money in a 32-day deposit. That's one example where you can save.
Yeah.
I've got money in a 6 months fixed deposit, 12 months fixed deposit, a money market account. Those are all lovely savings products that our banks have for us, even some of the asset management companies.
Yes.
Then you say, but I know saving is not going to create wealth for you.
Yes.
Because you're not exposing the money to risk, to the opportunity of growing. I mean, probably think of Capitec. I'm sure you've heard those examples.
Yes.
People will tell you R1,000 in Capitec when the bank started, it's millions of rands today. If you had bought shares in Capitec then,
or Bitcoin.
Or Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right? Remember I told you my story?
Yes.
There I was sitting when I learned about Bitcoin in about 2008. I wrote this article critiquing and saying, so criticizing, so the investment is too risky. And my wife always teases me. But Mark, you were busy analyzing and deciding not to even put a little bit. Imagine if I just put 10,000 rand. Where would it be? That's a lovely example.
Yeah.
Have you seen what Bitcoin does?
That's crazy. It's obviously up, down, and so forth. But what I'm seeing is the fact that in both instances, whether you are saving, whether you're investing, you need to be true to the understanding of your unique circumstances.
Risk tolerance. Yeah? That's it. How much risk?
So I shouldn't just invest because invest on my part. No. I must invest because I'm ready to invest. I'm in a position where I can invest.
And I understand the risk I'm taking. And by the way, listeners, we are not saying be an expert to analyze shares and know whether you must buy Vodacom or MTN shares or APSA as a bank versus NetBank. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We are just saying, as a start,
just
say to yourself, when I'm investing, I'm exposing my money to risk.
Right.
And therefore, this 1,000 can be 2,000. It can equally be 100 rand.
Yes.
But I'm okay with it because I want to accumulate wealth.
Yeah.
There's no way I can accumulate wealth if I'm not taking some form of risk.
Yeah.
And that is why it's important to know that first before you just jump in and say, hi, bro, people are talking about doing 1, 2, 3. I'm also just going to do it.
Yeah.
Because you are the person who's going to say, remember when COVID started? What happened to share prices, bro?
Yeah.
When COVID hit us, March 2020.
Yeah.
The JSE, all global markets, which means you would get a statement that says your 1,000 is now 400 rand.
Yeah.
You don't want to run and then say, sell those shares, sell those unit trust, and then you've lost a lot of money.
Yes.
So we are just saying, be just aware. When we are buying property, when you're buying property unit trust, when you're buying shares, when you're putting your money in gold, in Bitcoin, in all these various things that come with risk, just be aware.
Right.
You are exposing yourself to risk. So know the level of risk that kind of works for you.
Right.
So that you don't run and just say, yo, it's down now. I put it at 1,000. It's now 900.
Yeah.
I want my money back. Yeah. Oh, you'll get 900 and you've lost 100.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are in a position where you can either begin saving or perhaps even thinking about investing. What are the considerations that have been in your mind for either side of the conversation, whether it's investing, whether it's saving? I have seen, Dr. Magwegwe, that every time I make the commitment that I'm going to invest, I get cold feet because I'm not in control.
Yes.
Right, I'm not in control. Whereas 100%. When I am saving money, I'm in control. That money is relatively safe, as you said.
Yeah.
I'm in control of the process.
Yeah.
But it obviously doesn't make the kinds of returns that I would like.
Yeah.
How does one get over that fear?
Oh, what a wonderful question. And I really like the way you've put it, the idea of control, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. 1,000 rand at 10% in 1 year's time.
Yes.
It is 1,100.
Yeah.
Whereas if you give it to an asset manager or even to any other product that's not, you know, safe.
Yes.
From a guaranteed investment return perspective.
Yes.
Then that you're not in control. That 100 may, that 1,000 may be less or might be more.
Yes.
So I think a couple of things. The first one, and we love it on this show because it talks about know thyself. I always start there, bro. Say, know yourself. How much risk are you prepared to take?
Yes.
Before you even worry about where to put it.
Yes.
The reason, bro, Aubrey, is when we think about saving, the products, there's just a handful of products. I mentioned them. Fixed deposit, kind of money market, different types of fixed. Really, there's a handful. 5 products or so. All banks have them. And, you know, kind of they have different interest rates.
Yes.
Some asset managers have. But the menu is short.
Yes.
When you talk investing, probably we say shares. Just give you an idea of how come you lose control, right? We say shares. That's not specific. Which ones?
Yeah.
Do you want bank shares?
Yeah.
Do you want insurance?
Yeah.
Do you want mining?
Yeah.
If you answer and say, no, Makoko, I want mining shares, then I ask you, which one? Do you want the companies that mine coal? Or do you want those that mine gold?
Mm.
Or do you want those that mine platinum? If you say to me construction, I'm going to say, okay, construction, are you talking roads, infrastructure? Are you talking, you know, constructing warehouses? Are you talking offices?
Residential
areas. Are you talking residential?
Yeah.
Do you see each one of those, the reason you unpack it, they've got different risk. Gold shares have different risk to platinum shares.
How do I mitigate?
Insurance companies have different risk to mining companies, right?
How do I mitigate?
So the first step is know yourself, right?
Right.
That, okay, I know I want to take risk.
Yeah.
And the menu is so huge that if I'm starting out, that's where we say, your full-time job is here, working for 702 plus your other side gigs.
Yeah.
My full-time job is the following.
Yeah.
Please, don't think you can become overnight an expert on investing.
Yes.
You need to start small with small amounts of money that you're able to put a little bit at risk and see what happens. I would also then encourage to work with some sort of financial coach or financial advisor.
Yeah.
Just somebody who will kind of guide you, like a little bit of what I've done.
Yes.
That generally speaking, gold shares, they go up and down more than, for example, banking shares.
Yes.
More than, for example, perhaps construction shares.
Yeah.
So if you don't want too much up and down, you can still go
so you're
and
saying
invest
to me
in
that
shares, but you choose the one that are a little bit more stable, like
yes.
pick and pay, you know, food retailers, for example.
So you're saying to me that even the shares, even if you go into the investment space, the degrees of risk in each of the categories in which you could invest. Very.
A lot.
And you would first need to understand your appetite for
number
risk.
One, yes.
Your appetite for risk, yeah, that is going to be informed by your unique circumstance.
Correct.
In other words, how much am I willing to lose, yeah, in my desire to win?
Correct.
Because I suppose
to
you've got to
accumulate wealth.
You've got to factor that in,
yes,
to your thinking, that there's a serious possibility of loss,
yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
Right? And then I then invest in that category, yeah, of investments, yeah, that fits my appetite,
correct,
my aversion to risk.
Yes.
Uncle Siam, but that needs a professorship.
No. Professor. It needs you to work with a good, credible financial advisor, bro. But remember, we had that checklist last time,
yeah,
where we say check their qualifications, ask them, what type of financial advice do they give?
Yes.
Do you specialize in investment?
Yes.
And then what they will do if they're a good financial planner?
Yes.
There are common questionnaires that we use as finance professionals to try to gauge your risk. We don't say, just, do you think your risk is low or high? No.
Yes.
We'll ask you 10 or 12 questions. From those questions, we're able to kind of, you know, kind of those psychometric questions we often get, we're kind of able to get your appetite for risk, and then we play it back to you,
yes,
in terms of that. And then the next step, then the person with your understanding of how much risk you're able to take,
yes,
then they'll guide you, like, you know, there are these portfolio of shares that we call unit trusts, or these groupings of shares that,
yes,
you can invest in.
Yep.
These ones, if you are going only for gold shares,
yep,
that is too much.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of gold, you need a little bit of food, you need a little bit of clothing retailer, so that the portfolio or your group of shares,
yeah,
doesn't have a lot,
yeah,
of risk.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
they will hold your hand like that.
So let me invite you into this conversation on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567 as I speak to Dr. Frank Magwegwe. What is it that's stopping you from being an investor?
Knowledge.
Yeah. Is it perhaps, first of all, is it perhaps because you don't have enough money,
correct,
to invest?
Yeah.
Is it because you believe that investment is something that is reserved for a certain group of people?
Yeah.
Is it because perhaps you don't know which investment categories you need to get into? Is it because perhaps you don't know how that investment process actually happens?
Yeah.
Who are the people, Dr. Frank, yeah, perhaps I should ask, that when a bank has got a certain amount of money through deposits,
yeah,
either through savings,
yes,
or any other,
yeah,
who are the people that do the investing for the banks?
Yeah, lovely. So most banks would have in-house teams that then look at this deposit that they've accumulated, the likes of Nedbank, the likes of Standard Bank. And then they would say, we have this money that we owe our depositors, the people who have put money in,
yeah,
a money market account, in a,
yeah,
fixed deposit type of account. If people want their money, you know, we can't say we have invested this somewhere, we don't have it. We,
yeah,
should be able to give them back their money when they need it.
Yeah.
So they've got teams that look at all that and then ultimately says, here is where we can, as a bank, invest this money. This is the risk that we can take. Some of it is lending to state-owned companies, lending to entrepreneurs, lending to SMMEs. You know, they're taking risk.
Sure.
Some of it is themselves, you know, investing in portfolios of shares, like what we're talking about.
So I imagine that the same sort of awarenesses that,
yeah,
you are inviting us to be aware of at an individual level,
yeah,
the banks and their team
experts,
of investors,
yes,
experts,
yeah,
of investors,
yeah,
are thinking also in the same way. They know themselves,
yeah, yes,
as a bank.
Yeah.
They know what risk appetite they have based on the,
correct,
kinds of levels of illiquidity that they have as a bank.
Yes.
And that's probably why different banks will be investing in different things in different degrees.
Correct. And one bank would say yes to this entrepreneur.
Yeah.
They give him money. That very entrepreneur, another bank is going to say no.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
Right? So it really works like that. That's a good way of explaining. The,
yeah,
other thing I'm just reflecting on your question earlier, bro. There are so many stories. So it would be good for us to just remind our listeners.
Yeah.
We talk, and people starting to invest at the Braai, at the Stock Fell, anywhere where people congregate. We often, just as human beings, because we're generally optimistic,
yes,
we will tell you, yo, do you know? if you had put 10,000 in a Capitec, it's millions of rands today. Do you know if you had begged Discovery, it would be this? We often don't say, do you know if you had put money in Steinhoff,
you would have lost billions.
Do you know if you put money in African Bank when they got into trouble?
Yeah.
Do you know if
Enron.
You put money in Enron?
Yeah.
So as human beings, we often are biased to putting money in things go right.
Yeah.
But there are many examples locally and internationally where you put money and things go bad. Just look now, Praobi. Let's not look far. You look at that big cryptocurrency, FTX, that collapsed.
Yes.
Some of the smartest people in the world took risk, gave money, you know, to this founder of this entrepreneur, and they've lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
That is risk. Sure. You look at even now, the parent of one of the cryptocurrency exchanges, Luno, which is quite popular in SA, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And people who have backed them are losing money. So we like often talking of the stories of success with taking risk. We need to equally remind ourselves of stories of things going wrong.
All right. Let's talk to Ngidi in Roodepoort. Thanks there, Dr. Gumagwegwe, just where your ears there. Ngidi in Roodepoort, hi.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
So I wanted to find out, where do I find these financial advisors? Because the ones I've been exposed to have always belonged to a specific FFP or a specific bank. So I've never quite trusted that they're taking the full picture into account and advising me of the best possible options for me. I've always felt that they are obviously biased towards their own products. I felt like it was always a sales pitch. Including the one I have right now. I hope she's not listening because I love her dearly. But I just feel that there is no, I can't find neutral financial advisors that don't belong to FSCs or banks where I know that I want to build a long-term relationship with someone I can trust.
Dr. Frank?
That's an awesome question. So what you're highlighting there, just for our listeners, is broadly we've got two types of financial advisors. We've got what we call tied financial advisors. That's what we're describing now. They work for a certain bank or they work for a certain insurance company. And, you know, the point is often, yes, they want to sell, you know, the products that are specific to their company.
Yeah.
And then we've got what we call independent financial advisors. These are financial advisors who are not tied to any specific financial services a provider, whether it's a bank or whether it's an insurance company. And so there are various ways, and we've got lots and lots of them in SA. They all have to be, you know, registered with the FSCA.
Yeah.
So there are various ways that, you know, you can access them. And the key thing there, when you check, for example, all registered, you know, FSPs, what are they doing? Do they set themselves up as independent financial advisors? So number one is to check on that independence, because some of them, they may have deals where they need to sell products of a certain company, you know, as a minimum, and, you know, they push you there, which is what you're saying you're worried about.
Yeah.
So have it as an open question. Then more importantly, I think you need to then specifically ask, do you specialize on investment? Because some specialize on life insurance and disability, on medical aid.
Yes.
Some specialize even just on funeral cover. Mm. So you need then to get an idea of whether they specialize on investments. If you'd like to get an idea of how you can go about, you are welcome. Just go to frankmagwego.com, hit that contact me button. I'm happy to give you a list of questions you can ask and some of the ones that I work with.
There's a mindset that, I suppose, because of a lack of exposure that some of us have to these instruments of savings. And I mean, I'm hearing now that there are instruments where you can put up to what, 30,000 rands tax free.
Correct. Tax free savings account.
Yes.
Yes.
That have a particular benefit to you.
Huge tax
benefit. And then we have these conversation about investments.
Yeah.
And because of many of our lack of exposure to that space, to that world, we have not yet perhaps connected the idea that money can work.
Oh,
all right. So because I can't imagine the 20 bucks in my wallet actually doing work, right?
Exactly, right, right. Bravo. Yes.
So maybe sometimes when somebody says that money can work for you, when in fact we are used to spending money so that we can get things that make our lives easier, enhance our status or our own sense of exclusivity. But we have not yet connected with the idea that money works. Talk about that.
And there, Bravo, lies in one of the big concerns for me in terms of really the impact, the indirect impact, I guess, of kind of low levels of financial education or financial literacy that you miss out, right? And I just want to give a practical example that illustrates that money works for you. You've got a full-time job somewhere.
Yeah.
Once you have decided, I want to expose a little bit of my money to risk, I want to grow it. We are not talking hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, Braob.
Yeah.
We are even talking as small as 500 rand, 400 rand, 250 a month that you can choose to invest. In other words, take risk month by month. I put it in and it's invested for me in these assets that have got a higher opportunity of growing. Yes. I want to give you a practical example. So both my daughters turned, you know, 18 few years ago. We are 22 and 20 now.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you a story. When I started investing for them, I think they were probably 6 and 3. When they turned 18, I was very worried, probably, because I opened these accounts in their names. From starting with something like 500 rand a month, and then growing it every year by 10-15%, you know, to cater for inflation.
Right.
So just think of my, when I started the one, 6 and 3, right?
Yeah.
So let's just take the one at 3.
Yeah.
15 years later, at 18, and I was just disciplined and putting in money month by month. Probably there were several hundreds of thousands of rands.
In their account.
In their accounts. Now kids, they stand 18.
Ah, you're going to have a lot of guys trying to marry your daughter.
The daughters are 18.
Yeah.
The asset management says, these girls now, it's their money.
Aye, man.
Because it's in their name.
Sure.
They now can fire you from seeing this account. Yo, I nearly fainted. But the point I'm making is, I don't want our listeners to think these guys are talking someone in 10,000. I started with 500 bucks and was disciplined over 15 years.
Yes.
I think for the other kid, it probably was just 325,000 rands or something that I even forgot about. Now I can pay school fees, I can do 1, 2, 3, varsity, and so when you are not aware, Prabhupada, and that's what I am an evangelist for, you miss out so much by just not knowing the difference between saving and investing and just saying to yourself, you know what, I've got this extra 250.
Yeah.
I just want to give it to an asset management company or to a bank. I want to expose it to risk and grow.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised in 10, 15 years,
The
difference between that money sitting in a bank account versus that money being, it's huge, bro, in the example that I've given with my daughters.
Let's talk to Chris in Johannesburg. Chris, good evening to you.
Evening, bro, and Professor. I just wanted to know, is investing or high-risk investing a form of gambling? And the second point, what does the professor think about share options?
Ah,
thank you very much, Chris.
Both questions come up. The answer with gambling, very different. Let's think about gambling. Gambling primarily is dependent on luck for you to hit the combinations, you know, the roulette. There's a bit of skill, I guess, for some people, I guess, who gamble. But generally speaking, I mean, think of buying the lotto. That's a low form of gambling, for example. Then you've got, you know, kind of guys going into casinos and all that.
Yeah.
Now, that is a function of a lot of luck. And I guess maybe for some professional gamblers, they would say maybe some skill.
Yes.
The opposite is true with investments.
Yes.
Investments is primarily driven by skill. You are saying, I've analyzed a lot of things. Where is the economy going? Where is employment rates? You know, this new bank on the, this new kid on the block many years ago when it was Capitec or this new insurer called Discovery, if you take those examples, you analyze and you almost have very cogent, very clear reasons. Why am I taking 1,000 rand and giving it? I love their business plan. Mm-hmm. I love their how they acquire customers and. So the difference between the two is one, there is strong reasons based on, you know, kind of fundamentals of economics and finance that drive how the company acquires more customers and will do well. Yeah. If you're thinking of a gold company, yeah, I think they'll be able to mine more gold and sell it. And if gold prices go up, you know, they'll do well.
Yes.
That's the big difference there, you know, luck and skill, in my opinion. The other one around share options,
yeah,
share options are very risky.
Yeah.
Right? So when we think of shares, which is, you know, you're owning a small part of a company listed on the Johannesburg Exchange,
yes,
that's what we think of shares.
Yes.
When you are talking of share options, you are talking of an instrument that is what we call a lot of leverage. In other words, if things go well, you can make lots more money than holding the underlying share. But if things go pear-shaped, you can lose a lot of money. So compared to shares, share options, and generally things called derivatives, they've got more risk. You have to be prepared to take more risk when you are investing in share options versus investing with the underlying share itself.
If a person is invested,
yeah,
like you were, let's say, at year 7,
yeah,
of the investments for your daughter.
Let's see where this is going. Yes.
And now life happens.
Yeah.
Are you able to access that money?
Beautiful question, yeah, bro. I want to link it first to risk.
Yeah.
Because it happened. Yeah. So my daughter's born 2000 and 2003.
Yeah.
2008 global financial crisis and all the problems the world has faced.
Yeah.
Your risk tolerance says, I am in for the long haul.
Yeah.
This is money I don't need today. I am preparing a future for my daughters. And so the ups and downs of the market, you kind of really close your eyes.
Yes.
You're not worried about,
yes,
it. The risk element we spoke about comes back. Secondly, and most importantly, you're quite right. If I want the money, can I get it? Yes, you can.
Yes.
You can sell, if you are invested in shares, not all of the shares, some of the shares,
yes,
to access part of the money they want. The same also applies to unit trust. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can access the money,
yeah,
that you are giving these institutions.
But then you're going to lose out a little bit
if
you take the money before the agreed upon period that the money is supposed to stay in there for.
If you're in a product that is those rules,
right,
but general investment product don't really lock you in, so you're free to put the money in today and get it in 3 months' time,
yeah,
or even tomorrow. So there your risk is when you want to take the money out,
yes,
it might be that that investment is not performing well, and therefore you'll, you know, suffer a loss when you access your money. You put in 1,000, it's now worth 800, so you may suffer a loss of 200.
Let me speak to Brades in Johannesburg. Brades?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, Tara Brades.
Your guest there.
Mm.
Hi, Brades.
Is it Dr. Frank?
The good doctor, Dr. Max, yes.
Oh,
the good money doctor.
You know, doctor, yeah, you make me envy, not you, but Capitec, because I actually was also one of the first clients that opened up an account.
Yes.
You know, when Capitec opened.
Yeah.
I had 5,000 in my pocket.
Yeah.
But never ever thought of investing the money.
Yeah.
But nevertheless,
yeah,
you know, people became millions. But what I wanted,
correct,
to ask you,
quickly,
the good doctor, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you mentioned something about stock sell.
Yes.
It's good to invest in those because, I mean, the factors, because, I mean, if you, you know, if you look on TV, even the stock sells are being robbed in Zubut.
Yes.
And then, of course, years ago, we heard of the pyramid. I'm not sure what you think about this.
Yeah, yeah. That's an awesome question.
Yeah, just some questions. But the one,
sure,
person that just phoned in now, he, yeah, had a question.
Yeah.
My question, obviously, will be, what are you thinking about the Kruger Rands and Mandela
and
coins?
Also? Yes.
I mean, are these also good investors these days?
Yeah.
Let me stop you there. Go ahead, Dr. Frank.
So, Bitcoin, in one sentence, quite risky. Some of the top minds in the world, they say, they actually don't understand Bitcoin as an investment product. The likes of Warren Buffett say, don't touch it. That's the devil. That's the thing, is very risky. And then you've got people who invest a lot of money in it and they've done well.
Yeah.
So I think it's about your risk appetite and wanting to explore this future form of finance or money called cryptocurrencies. That's my one line on that. The Kruger Rands, for example, the Mandela coins, the underlying variable, what drives the price of a Kruger Rand is gold. So they're very much linked to how the gold price is doing. So they behave differently to shares. So it is good to have some of those in your portfolio if I'm interested in that, because when share prices go up, gold might behave very differently.
Dr. Frank,
it's wonderful.
We've absolutely run out of time. Important conversation. Yes. How do people get a hold of you?
FrankMakwege.com, hit that contact me button, and this is the beginning of our series on investment products.